Okay. Okay. Good morning. No, that's great. Thank you. Perfect. No problem. Good morning. My name is Lisa Baker. I'm a member of the Board of Trustees of this congregation. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Northern Westchester welcomes all, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affiliation, factors that can divide people in the larger culture. If this is your first time visiting us, we have a few suggestions and requests. Please, first of all, feel free to join us after the service for coffee and conversation. Feel free to take any brochures that are found in the entryway when you come into the building. Those are for your information about what we do here. Please sign our guest book in the entry hall so that we'll know that you are here. People whose name tags have blue dots are members of the congregation, and we'd be especially glad to chat with you during the coffee hour and answer any questions you might have about our congregation. Because our services differ from week to week, we encourage you to come back a few times to get a flavor of our services and our community. Now is the time to turn off cell phones, please. Parents of small children are reminded that we have child care, and today there's a special activity for the children that Stephanie is running. So we will sing the older children out a few steps ahead in the service, and the children are invited to participate in that. Our regular religious ed Sunday school classes will start next Sunday on the 25th. And again, welcome, and we're glad to have you here.
Good morning. I'm Reverend Abigail Stockman, the interim minister here at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Northern Westchester. We join in a common quest for the discovery of life's deeper meaning, for the enduring strength of hope, for the inspiration of joy and laughter, for the mind's illumination by the torch of wisdom, for hearts warmed by the mysteries of love, for souls enriched by the winds of the living spirit. Life is a gift to us and through us. Let us be open to its flow. We meet in celebration of the life that is given to and through us. Let us this morning turn our thoughts to how we can touch and be touched, love and be loved, forgive and be forgiven, heal and be healed, so that the goodness of our lives can be a shared blessing. Please greet your neighbor in the spirit of openness and wonder, with a curiosity about how their spirit, their being, or their becoming is on this day. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for our hymn, our chalice lighting, and our unison affirmation. We are going to sing our hymn through twice together, and then we're going to sing it through twice in two parts, with the left side of the room and the right side of the room. The left side will begin, and I will indicate to the right side when you should join in.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour,
gathered here in one strong body,
gathered here in the struggle and the power,
Spirit, draw near.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour,
go into our round. Left side, begin.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour, gathered here in the mystery of the body, gathered here in the sorrows of the body, save me from the trouble that you have.
Turn the page with the paper clip on it. May the
fire's flame illuminate our lives and the strivings of the Spirit. May it heal this understanding and strengthen love.
Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth in love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls grow into harmony. Thus do we covenant one another. And now we will sing the children out. You may be seated. I would ask that members of the worship committee please come forward and stand facing the congregation. If you are new with us this morning, you may not know that for the last 6 months, this congregation has been without a minister. And this morning, we thank those who have risen to that task. I invite you to read off of the insert in your order of service. I will begin. This morning, there must be a way to do this. So, of how hard they've worked. Thank you, Jim. This morning, we wish to thank you for your commitment to this fellowship, for offering and using the gifts of your energy and your creativity in the service of providing worship while this fellowship was without a minister at its helm. This morning, we honor you and your experience, an experience that has brought each of you into a deeper connection with your own search for truth and meaning.
We thank you for your part in keeping this fellowship alive and active during a time of change. We thank you for your commitment and actions that help to steer this fellowship over some of life's sandbars.
Didn't know there would be a moment of truth. The greeters who collect your offering this morning may not dance up and down the aisles, as the Bible says that David once did on the steps to the temple. But we hope that real joy may accompany our giving. It is in giving that we receive. And may we as a congregation dance wisely with the proceeds, that this congregation might grow and invite others to share in this joy. Please be generous. One could truly dance to that music. I invite you to open your hymnals to number 576, A Litany of Restoration. If, recognizing the interdependence of all life, we strive to build community, the strength we gather will be our salvation. If you are black and I am white, if you are female and I am male, if you are older and I am younger, if you are progressive and I am conservative, if you are straight and I am gay, if you are Christian and I am Jewish, if we join spirits as brothers and sisters, the pain of our aloneness will be lessened, and that does matter.
In the Spirit, we build community and move toward restoration.
This is the time in the service of sharing the personal joys and sorrows of our lives, deepening the connections of this community of one to another. If you have a joy or sorrow, please come forward if you wish, light a candle, and you may share aloud with the gathered community. And we invite you also to tell us your name so that we can learn one another. Another's names.
Good morning, everybody. Penny Zokai, lighting a candle of hope. Some of you strapping young men. Oh, God, do we have any? I don't think we do. Will help me unload my car after the service, which is full of service, not service auction, Autumn Bazaar items for sale, and that we'll have a very successful fundraiser next Saturday.
Hi, I'm Judy Parker. I also have a box in my car. This is a candle of hope. I'm going away this week, and last time I went away, my cats went nuts. And since then, my male cat, Al, is on Prozac. And so I am deeply hoping that he will be calm enough, and when I get back home, we will not have terror through the household.
My name's Lisa, and this is a candle of sorrow and joy for a relationship in my life that was very loving and important to me that ended a few weeks ago. And sorrow for all of the pain that accompanies that, and joy for, you know, everything it brought into my life and all the ways that I grew.
Hi, I'm Kathy Gallagher, and I also have lots of boxes in my car, which I was very joyful to put in my car and think that my house is just has that much more space in it. And I'm lighting a candle for the board. We had a wonderful retreat yesterday, and felt like I got to know everybody a lot better, and feels like the board is off to a great start for all of you guys.
For the names and the joys and sorrows that have been spoken aloud here, and those that remain in the silent sanctuaries of our heart, I will light one more candle. I invite you to join in a spirit of reflection. The words of Andrew Hill: out of a troubled world of expediency and selfish strife, we come to this place, set apart for the renewal of vision. Great unity beyond all differences. Should our lives be narrowed by personal sorrow or tragedy, envision us with a sense of worth. Should we be weary of the diminishing purposes of community and the persistence of global conflicts, envision us with your larger purpose. Should we feel lost upon Earth's lonely cosmic shore, envision us with joy and wonder. Uphold us when weak, embrace us when broken, transform us when partial. Restore to us your great unity that we and the green Earth and the cosmic law may become as one. Great unity, bless us now in this moment of worship with your commanding vision. The homily this morning is a sermon. In case you were hoping. It's a good hour and a half at least. I understand that William Ellery Channing, one of the first minister to embrace the liberal congregational minister to embrace the name Unitarian, which previously had been slung as an insult. I understand he used to preach for several hours on a Sunday. Someday I might try imitating him. This asparagus fern that is here this morning is not only here to decorate the pulpit. It is also here to decorate this sermon. It has become quite root-bound in this pot. Just 2 years ago, I replanted it into this very pot, which seemed much larger then. Back then, I thought this new pot was large enough that I would not have to deal with this asparagus fern for another several years. I was wrong. The good news is the plant grew rapidly, and its roots have become tightly bound in this pot. Now the plant is unable to do any more real growth. Instead, every time it tries to do new growth, when you come up after the service, you can see that at the very ends, there's nothing there. It just falls off. It turns brown. It withers away. I cut it back every once in a while so that it looks healthier when you come into my house. But still, in a few weeks, the same thing happens because the roots are still deeply bound. It grows just to that point where it can't grow any further and the ends turn brown and they wither. The roots need fresh, aerated, and well-nourished soil. The roots need space into which they can explore, expand, and grow. I am the intern minister here. An intern, for those of you who don't know, is one who comes to a congregation during a time of transition, a time of congregational repotting, if you will. We come for a short period, usually one, but never more than 2 years. And this is a time when the congregation is also usually involved in the process of searching for a new settled minister. A settled minister is one who comes and is called by the entire congregation with the hope of staying here for a much longer period than the interim minister. I have been contracted by this fellowship's governing board to serve you during this year, and I am very excited by the work we will do. Much of our time together will be spent in the typical work of minister and congregation, weekly services, pastoral care, supporting you in your ongoing efforts to maintain this wonderful, caring, and extremely gifted congregation, not to mention committed. But you may also come to think of me like a new pot, working with you to keep the soil of this congregation aerated and well nourished while you explore new possibilities so that you can expand and grow into your next settled ministry when it does arrive. If one is planning to go exploring, it seems to me that it's best to bring along a good amount of curiosity and wonder. As a child, when I would hear the story about Lewis and Clark, I used to wonder about how they made their trek across the United States without becoming so afraid that they would turn back. Really, what I wanted to know was, could I make an exploration of such proportions into unknown territory without becoming so afraid that I would turn back? There was a song that we sang in my Sunday school, and just bear with me, these two tie together. It was called Wonderings. The words went like this: I wonder how the earth was formed and why it's round. I wonder just how deep it goes below the ground. I wonder how the rocks were made and the lacy weeds. I wonder just how life begins in tiny seeds. I wonder how our brains can think so many things to help us find the answer to our wonderings. And some of us do wonder about the earth or the rocks or the stars, how the earth was formed, how deep the rocks go, how life begins in tiny seeds. But some of us wonder about other things. Some of us wonder about how to put sounds and words or colors together. Some of us wonder how people work, how they think, why we are different, how people behaved in the past or lived. Some of us wonder about feelings and behavior. Most likely all of us in this room, but I may not speak accurately, have wondered about religion in some way, about God and whether or not God is a meaningful expression for us, or about the unnameable, unknowable mystery, about whether or not we believe in a God or in an afterlife or in anything religious. True wondering is an openness to life, and it is good. The curiosity that is attached to wondering is also good. This is not a prurient or leering curiosity seeking only to confirm a negative judgment while satisfying some primal id. I'm speaking about a curiosity and wonder that encounters the new, the different, the other, the unknown, with an openness to being changed by the experience. It is the impulse to explore, to go on a new adventure into uncharted territory. The human impulse toward religious experience is an adventure of wondering and curiosity, I would claim. Adventures can be exciting, they can be scary, and we all experience that excitement or scariness a little bit differently. Can you imagine for a moment that the stories in the Bible are in fact the description of the human journey, of the adventure into religious experience through the course of a particular time in history? If we're to look at the Bible through those eyes, what might the story of Eve and her curiosity and wonder look like? Eve got a bad rap somewhere around the 4th century. And I have to tell you, I do not claim to the details of great scholarship here. But the Confessions of St. Augustine, written around 397 in the Common Era, certainly went a long way toward sealing the Christian understanding of human nature as corrupt and Eve's curiosity as the sinful impulse that took us down a bad path. I'd like to propose a different understanding of Eve's curiosity about the apple or the fruit, the tree, and the knowledge. Let's suppose instead that Eve's courageous act of curiosity and wonder about that apple and tree provided not an ending, but a valuable and meaningful beginning. Can we imagine Eve as a saint who symbolically set humankind upon the adventurous trail of discovery about what it means to be a human being, seeking to be faithful to something larger than just one's own self over the course of time and history and life? Just a possibility. It's fairly easy for us human beings to wonder about things, harder, I think, for us to hold wonder, open wonder about ourselves, and even harder to hold open wonder and curiosity about others. There is a quote, and I have to admit I was unable to locate the author and the exact quote, so you'll get it from my memory. It went something like this. We judge others by their actions and ourselves by our values. It is often easier for us as human beings to judge, to assume, to presume, and to infer when we encounter another. To hold others, to hold wonder and curiosity about others takes real intention. It takes mindfulness. One might say it takes faith. Ours is a faith without a creedal statement about a deity. Ours is a faith where we do not necessarily share a belief in God or a non-belief in God. Ours is a faith that encourages us as individuals to search for our own truth and meaning. But here's what we do share. We share relationship and we share this community. This, then, is the focus of our theology. How shall we be together? How shall we encounter one another? Today, we focus on how we can be in relationship, a possibility. Without relationship, write some authors on the subject, we perish without relationship. Without loving relationships, we rarely thrive. Right relationship is about being in loving relationships that seek to maintain a respectful and kind openness. It's about relationships that seek to maintain justice as we understand it. It is about relationships that are flexible enough for transplanting into new pots, but have connected roots. Wonder is a prime element of right relationship. So is curiosity. Wonder and curiosity call us to listen first. They call us to ask questions about the other. Right relationship invites us to go to the very boundaries and borders of ourselves and to stand firmly within ourselves, while opening up to hearing and listening about the other whose boundaries are different. It is not about blending ourselves together. It is not about all agreeing or feeling or thinking the same thing. It is about knowing who we are and expanding ourselves into encountering one another. So right relationship also asks us to become self-aware, to learn who we are, not only the values we think we hold, but how others see us. Right relationship is a Unitarian Universalist religious practice. Wonder and curiosity affirm the inherent worth and dignity of all people by seeking to discover who one is in the larger context of our socially relational world. Let me be clear, however, wonder and curiosity opening up to others also requires that we use our judgment. In no way would I ever suggest that creating right relationship happens when we allow someone to abuse or misuse us in relationship. If physical safety is an issue, wonder and curiosity are best held at a safe distance. At one of our congregations, I knew an elderly congregant who put into practice in a most amazing way right relationship, faithfulness, wonder, and curiosity. She was an elderly woman who had belonged to this congregation since her birth. She came to church on Sunday. This was a church. She came to church on Sunday faithfully. And after church, every Sunday, she faithfully shook the hand of whomever it was who had spoken that day. This congregation was a welcoming congregation, which, if you are with us for the first time, means that this congregation, as this particular congregation has also done, committed themselves to wondering and opening to learning about acceptance and welcome of people who are bisexual, transgender, gay, and lesbian. So one Sunday morning in the pulpit at this particular congregation, the speaker was a transgender woman. And this elderly congregant showed up when many others did not. And she stayed through the service. And at the end of the service, she walked up to the woman and shook her hand. Several days later, I had an opportunity to speak with this woman. I asked her how it was for her to be at that service. She told me it was the most difficult and painful thing she had ever done in her entire life. She spoke of how hard and challenging it was to sit in the room and look at this woman who had been once a man. And she spoke about how the most difficult piece in the world was to shake her hand, because her hand still looked very much like a man's hand. That is an act of faith. It is an act of open curiosity and wonder towards someone who is very, very different. She didn't claim to understand. She didn't feel any more comfortable after that service. But she came, she showed up, and she shook the hand of someone who was so very, very different. Part of being in right relationship is also maintaining justice, being open to that which we say, we affirm, and promote, and welcome. So this morning, I share with you that outside this congregation, on the back of one of the pillars, are written some words, which I will not speak from this pulpit, but you may go see for yourself. They're not written boldly. We don't know who wrote them. They're four-letter words about fags. I will say that much. I cannot bring myself to say the rest of the words, but I do welcome you to go outside and read them. They are not welcoming. As a bisexual woman, they do not make me feel welcome here or safe, not in this particular congregation and with group of people, but rather that they are outside in this larger community. They're not, I want to tell you, they're not easy to see. You have to be very intentional about it. They're not printed boldly. They're not written in red paint. They are scratched into the concrete behind one of the pillars. And this is not about blame, or it's not important how it got there. It got there. If we ever find out whom, it is an opportunity to engage with that person in right relationship, which is to say it is not about punishing or condemning whoever wrote that for their feelings, but rather encountering them with openness and wonder and curiosity so that we might better understand while still standing firmly in our own beliefs and feelings. Wonder and curiosity never call us to condemn a person. But to be silent is not to disagree. To be silent is to be complicit. So that is why I invite you to go see those words and have a conversation among yourselves about them and how you will handle it. It is possible that the writer was a young person, simply deeply afraid of being in a different culture, being afraid of not being alike. I invite us to know about it because it brings us all into right relationship with ourselves, with each other, and with our grounds and building. So I call you back to wonder and curiosity. As your interim minister, I am here to repot the plants as you wish to help you in that process. It will be a year that may be filled with some experiments in worship and in fellowship, and it's okay if you don't like all of it. In fact, that's good. It's important that you learn to express yourselves to each other respectfully, kindly, openly, and honestly. The purpose of any changes or experiments isn't to confound anyone, but rather to offer a variety of possibilities so that as individuals and as a congregation, you can better express your own needs and desires as you look for a future settled minister. And I invite you during this year to join me in a mindful and intentional spiritual practice of openness to curiosity and wonder about each other, about the world around us, physical and human, about the needs and feelings of the person who wrote on our columns, about our own needs and feelings about those columns, about our relationships with one another, about our faith community and how we want and expect it to be, and about how others may want and expect differently than we do. I invite you to engage in curiosity and wonder, to speak for yourselves, and to ask others how they are. How is your spirit or your being or your becoming today? And I invite you, if you would like to witness to your own experiences with right relationship or curiosity and wonder, to take these next few minutes and share if you would wish.
Thank you, and I'll be glad to shake your hand. I very much appreciate your words about right relationship, and that I know myself that I think that is that's what I'd most like to see, is that way that we can communicate and do that. And I know that I have a certain style of doing that, which people have to be able to get through to get to me to talk about that. Other people have other styles. And so I mean, what I would like is that, you know, I'll be mindful more of my style, but I'd like people to push through that once in a while. And I'll be mindful of other people's styles and back off probably most of the time to do that. But I think that kind of honesty is what we need, rather than, well, I won't say that because I don't want to offend someone, or I don't want to have the real dialogue. I think the real dialogue is what we need all the time. So thank you.
Good morning, Reverend Stockman. First of all, I want to welcome you and thank you for the comment about our buildings and grounds. I didn't even know that was out there. And hopefully we can take care of that so that it's not there anymore, because I don't want to offend anybody. And thank you for your honesty. And hopefully we'll all get to know each other better this year. We have had an interim minister. This is the third time since I've been here in the last 7 years. And it is a process that we get to know you, and then we get to love you, and then we don't want you to leave, and you have to leave. So I know this year will be a lot of growth for all of us, and I always believe that whoever comes here brings us something that we need to learn. That's part of my faith, that, you know, I do believe in God, and I do believe that God sends people here for a reason. So obviously there's a message that you have that I need to hear. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you very much. It's delightful to actually hear a sermon. The thing that caught my attention is your picture of the roots from the different pots intermingling. And I think that's where the problem is. We don't really have a natural process for that to happen. And the only process we have is communication, which can be, of course, art or singing or painting or dancing, but it's largely speech and talking. And what I object to in many of the, quote, religious programs, for example, that are on TV constantly, is that they are trying to get the roots to grow in a certain way, which I don't agree to. And that's why I very seldom listen to those programs completely. But thank you.
Thank you, Abigail. I felt you were in right relationship with us this morning in many ways, you know, by referring to what had happened to our property and by opening up yourself to us with honesty. So I really wanted to honor that. I also, I thought the use of the term right relationship was interesting, because I've been conversant with that term, but usually thought of it as a call to honesty, integrity, keeping our commitments to each other, perhaps to recognizing the inherent worth of the people that we interact with. But I thought it was really interesting how you expanded the idea of right relationship to an idea of openness, curiosity, wonder. It's a higher bar, you know, is what I heard. You know, it's not just a kind of a justice model, you know, that I need to honor my commitments to someone, but that I'm completely open to hearing who they are. So I like very much the way that you articulated that, and I'll carry that with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Stockman. I enjoyed hearing your words this morning. I want to disagree, though, with the story you shared about the elderly congregant. In her resistance to change, I think she did the wrong thing, not the right thing, in shaking the hand of someone who she claimed was very difficult to do. I think the right thing would have been to allow herself to be moved by that, to have faith in that person's decision to change themselves, even if a hand, be it grotesque, manly, masculine, completely irrelevant to judge like that. And I think that if we are going to be honest, which, and I love this man right here dearly for his honesty, because there are very few people in the world like that, that she should not have chosen to shake that person's hand and made an exception, because if she felt that disgust inside of her, she should have worked on that more. And I know that my commitment to everyone here is that I don't care what you look like, I don't care what you believe, you come here, you have my love. That's, to me, the meaning of welcoming.
Thank you all for sharing so openly from your hearts. And honestly, it's very moving. Let us stand and join together in singing our hymn, our closing words, and our chalice extinguishing.
May Sarton says, help us to be the always hopeful gardeners of the Spirit who know that without darkness nothing comes to birth, as without light nothing flowers. And I would add, without room the roots can't expand and grow. May we go forth truly wondering, how is it with your spirit, your being, and your becoming today? Blessed be, and amen. We extinguish this flame and chalice, but not the light of truth, nor the flame of love. And this is not an extinguisher. Now we will extinguish this chalice. So my first intentional experiment, I would like to teach you all to sing these closing words. You have said, carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. And I have heard this sung, and then you can choose. And it goes like this. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. Let's just try carry the flame. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. All right, we're going to do it all the way through one more time. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. The service is ended. Good morning.